love you. And I thank you, Jesus. You know, when I danced around with those kids, and little Trinity looked at me with a big smile and laughed, I thought, that's heaven in the arms of a loving Father, of a good, good, good God. Amen. Smile of a little kid who feels comfortable, who feels protected, who feels secure, who knows that there's somebody stronger and bigger than her holding her. How many knows that somebody stronger and bigger than you holding you? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the worship team this morning. Thank you for how many enjoyed the praise and worship. Thank you, Jesus. I had a Christmas gift of a book. When they asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I would say, a book. And I got this book. And it's called The Breeze of Heaven. And Emma is the name of the lady. She was in an accident, in a work-related accident. She was climbing up on the steps, 20 feet off, to go to a box. And she read the code in the box. And there was a furnace hanging from the ceiling, and it turned on just as she was going up there. And there was no cover on the furnace. And it blasted, and she fell. And she got hung up in her foot, upside down. And she hung for 2.5 hours. Without anybody finding her. She was out. She was unconscious. They finally found her. She doesn't know why they didn't look for her, because she's supposed to sign out when she leaves, and the boss had not seen that. And the co-workers knew that she was going to have a ride home, and she didn't show up for the ride. So she doesn't know why they didn't look for her until 2.5 hours later. She ended up with a disease in her leg. Her leg was twisted. And she ended up with a pain-related disease that caused excruciating pain in her leg. And with it came a rash that came up her leg. And in fact, at one point they said, we need to amputate your leg, or you're going to have a blood clot, and it's going to kill you. And she went to Jesus and said, Jesus, what should I do? And she said, don't do it. And actually the leg was still twisted, still painful, but it did not kill her. That was in 1993. She fought with insurance companies. Her body began to deteriorate from the same disease. It had spread, this nerves disease, in her arm. And her arm became unmovable. It was completely immobile. Then her whole body started twisting. She was in a wheelchair. And she was at a 90-degree angle. So she couldn't go through a door unless it was very wide. And one day, I'm telling you this because I want to get to this one day. At Christmas Eve of 2011, Christmas Eve morning, she was all by herself. Her family had left, and they were coming in on the Christmas day. And she, by accident, got her wheelchair stuck. In an attempt to get it out, she flipped the wheelchair. And now she landed on the floor. And she knew that nobody was going to come to her house for another whole day. And she was laying there thinking, Jesus, is this how I'm going to die? She had no way to get to the phone. She has no way of pushing any buttons. She knew that that was it. So she cried out, said, Jesus, I'm ready to go if this is the day you want me to go. But if you can help me, that would be great. Christmas is coming. And she doesn't know what happened for sure, except Jesus showed up. And he straightened her back, healed her hand, and even flipped the wheelchair up. The next morning, This is verified by really by the doctors. The next morning, she meets her family at the door, and they just about passed out. She goes to the doctors, and they can't believe, because they say there's no way that this disease could ever disappear apart from a miracle. And the last pass of her book is full of reports of the doctors that has given about her disease and what they thought. And the doctor said, apart from a miracle, this will never have happened. So I'm just sharing that because it touched my heart. How many likes to hear stories of God's breakthrough? Because what he could do then, he can do today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I told Jeff he has to read it next. Are you ready for the sermon? Pursuing your heart. It's God pursuing your heart, that is. So one day, Jesus came to Nazareth, to the synagogue. And there he opened the Isaiah. Got it on there, Anya? And he declared his mission. If you don't have it, that's okay. So, it's not coming? Okay. You know the story. So, he went to the synagogue and he declared, he read it out of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There we go. Hallelujah, Anya. Thank you, Jesus. Give Anya a clap. Thank you. It can be embarrassing sitting down there and everybody stares at you and wonder what's going on. So this is his mission. Preach to the poor, which is salvation. Heal the brokenhearted, which is healing of emotions. Open the eyes of the blind, which is physical healing as well as spiritual healing. Deliver them from the oppressed. That's delivery ministry. Those are the four main things that Jesus came to do. Can I ask you something? That's Jesus' mission. He's sharing his mission right there. And he says, now this is going to be fulfilled today. What's your mission? I see somebody heard somebody say. Can you say it, bud? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Preach the gospel to those who are in need of salvation. Heal those who are emotionally broken. Open the eyes of those who are spiritually and physically blind. Deliver people who are oppressed by the enemy. That's it. Now you know your mission for life. Just go and do it. I want to talk today about being a broken heart. That one thing. I came to heal the brokenhearted. Here's my fancy heart. I need an artist like Jeff. So when your heart is broken, it goes like that. How many here has ever had hearts broken? If you didn't put up your hand, I don't believe you. My heart broke in many different ways, but it was one specific time when my dad left my mother for another woman. My heart broke. So how does Jesus heal the heart? How many knows there's a battle over your heart? Guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life, the Proverbs says. That's okay. Because in your heart, that's where you believe things about yourself, things about the world, things about God. And so it is the center of your being, it's your heart. So to share this story, when I talk about the healing of the heart, I want to emphasize one specific thing. I want to focus on one, because I can't focus on all these things, because a broken heart can be in many things. I want to focus on one thing specifically today, and that's called rejection. Rejection is something that makes you feel that you're not worthy, you're not valued, you're not good enough, you don't belong, you're not acceptable, you can never measure up. And when you have those rejection, there are symptoms like anger, offense, shyness, isolation. All those things are symptoms. Talking too much can be symptoms of rejection. So today I want to talk about how Jesus heals the heart. Heals rejection especially. And I want to use the story of Cinderella. How many have heard or read the story of Cinderella? So Cinderella is living with her two stepsisters and a stepmom and her father. And they are mean. They are the wicked stepsisters. And they are forcing her to live in the cellar and sleeping in the in a coal room. And John Eldred said, "I wonder why didn't she look in the mirror to see how beautiful she was? Why didn't she look in the mirror and see how beautiful she was?" I'm talking about the attack upon your heart and how Jesus heals. So, here it is. You see, the reason she couldn't look in the mirror and see she was beautiful is because the stepsister said, "The reason you are just a maid and you're not one of us, and the reason that you are in the cellar is because you're ugly. You are ugly." And guess what? She believed it. So when she looked in the mirror, she couldn't see any beauty. How many have ever heard of Princess Diana? According to a poll that was done, she was considered one of the most beautiful women that lived. But in her diary, she criticized her own look. She couldn't see it. My friends, there's an attack upon your heart. Sometimes you're blinded because of what other people or the enemy tells you. So nothing happened, and she was destined to stay in the cellar for the rest of her life until something got awakened in her, which was the prince. He wanted looking for a queen, and he was going to have a ball. So he invited everybody, all the maidens, to come for this ball and to have a dance, and he would pick the best one. I should do that for my daughter. No, I was thinking. And so sorry, I just thought of that. Don't tell her that. So anyway, she thought, okay, I can do it. And her friends, remember her friends? There's birds, isn't there mice as well? And I forget, there are different animals. They believe in her and they say, yes, let's do it. And they went and got some clothes. Unfortunately, it was borrowed from the stepsisters. But it was clothes and they dressed up and they believed. Can you say something, my friends? When people are living in rejection, they need friends. They don't react to the rejection. They react to what God sees. Amen? And they come along and says this, "Man, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. You can do this. You can go to the ball." And so they dress up, but the stepsister sees this and they're jealous. And they rip it off her. And she feels so deflated. Again, she was rejected. Because she's ugly. But then comes the fairy godmother. I will say the Holy Spirit. And, hi Darren. And the wand goes, and she now has this amazing, beautiful dress. And she looks in the mirror. And she says, "I am beautiful." But she thinks it's magic. She goes to the dance, dances with the prince. And and has the best day. But she knows at 12 o'clock, the magic is gone. And when that 12 o'clock comes, she runs and loses one of her slippers. And so the story goes, you see, she thought that her beauty was just the magic. And when the magic was done, her beauty was gone. And she runs home into her cellar. The prince is looking for the one who's missing, who has the slipper. He's looking for the one. The prince is looking for the one. She probably knows he's looking for the one. But because of her rejection, she couldn't possibly think that she could become the queen. I'm saying this, when you experience rejection, you think that it's not possible that you could actually be loved. You don't think it's possible that you were worthy of his love. You don't think it's possible that somebody would actually pursue you for you, not for what you can do, not for what you look like, but for who you really are. So there's Cinderella is now sitting in her dungeon, had a wonderful experience, but doesn't believe that that's anymore to her. So here it comes. The prince shows up. "Have you no other daughters?" "No," said the man. "That's a little stunted kitchen wench which my late wife left behind her. But she cannot be the bride. The king's son said he was to send her up to him. But the stepmother answered, 'Oh, no, no, she is much too dirty. She cannot show herself.' But he absolutely insisted on it. And Cinderella had to be called. She first washed her hands and her face clean, and then went and bowed down before the king's son, who gave her the golden slipper. Then she seated herself on the stool, drew her foot out of the heavy wooden shoe, and put it on the slipper, which fit like a glove. And when she rose up, and the king's son looked at her face, he recognized the beautiful maiden who had danced with him and cried, 'This is the true bride.' The stepmother and two sisters were horrified and became pale with rage. He, however, took Cinderella on his horse and rode off in forever wonderland." My friends, it's a story of somebody who's been rejected, who's being found by Jesus. So here it comes. How does Jesus heal a broken hearted who's been rejected? Number one, he pursues you. He pursues those who are oppressed by the enemy. And the enemy is one who comes and uses a wound in your heart and tells you you're useless. You're not worthy of him. How many knows in the Revelation it says, the spirit of the bride says, "Come. You, my friends, is the bride. And Jesus has pursued you. Or you wouldn't be saying, 'I am one of his.' No one can come to the Father except the ones that Jesus draws." So what did Jesus do when he came? What does he do? My friends, the world he lived in was full of rejected people. Society, the law had rejected them, called them outcasts. And where did he go? He went to the lepers and touched them. He went to the foreign woman, Samaritan woman, who nobody is supposed to talk to because she is part of the enemy. He went and led her to salvation. What about the woman who was caught in adultery? He set her free. What about the woman who was caught as a prostitute, probably a prostitute, and came and poured out her oil on his feet? And he heard the Pharisees. He didn't hear them, but he knew their thoughts. They were thinking, if Jesus knew who this was, they would never allow her to come and put oil on his feet or touch his feet. And so Jesus turns to the Pharisees and says, "So I'm going to tell you something. If somebody has forgiven, I think it's $50,000, would they love you much? What about the one who has forgiven you $100? I don't remember the amount because I'm just making it up. He said, the one who loves most is the one who's been forgiven most. Can I just say something? Rejection is one of the things that I come across that plagues people more than anything in the world. And sometimes we sit in these pews and we actually have a case against somebody else sitting there. And Jesus knows your thoughts. And do you know what Jesus says? He says the prostitutes, the foreigners, the outcasts, the sick, the lepers are all accepted in my kingdom. My friends, this church accepts the prostitutes, the sick, the skinny, the fat. It accepts the homosexuals. It accepts the AIDS patients. It accepts those who have been divorced. It accepts those who have been divorced 3 times. It accepts the rich. It accepts the poor. It accepts everyone. Because that's what Jesus does. He steps in to those who are rejected by society and says, I love you. When there's rejection, my friends, there frequently is a spirit of rejection that comes on the person and whispers in their ear, who do you think you are? You are ugly. Even though reality says differently. You are a failure. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. You will never be victorious. You will die. You will be sick for the rest of your life. And guess what? That person begins to listen to the voice who has come to kill, steal, and destroy, who is called the accuser, false accuser. And when that person begins to believe it, they emanate rejection. And people around them can feel it. And they reject them. Just because the spirit that's on them. Now you have called them, you have a mission. A mission is to heal the. Therefore, you respond not to the rejection. You respond to the spirit of God who says, I love you. And I'm going to call you out to become a Cinderella in this kingdom. How many believe that is the truth? So how does this happen? When I have been rejected. How does I get there? Robert Moore said, I used to be angry. I got married and didn't hit my wife, but I hit the fridge, I would hit the wall. And he said, many times my wife had to go and buy a picture to cover up the holes in the wall or in the fridge so that other people couldn't see it. But I had an anger problem. And one day, a friend of mine said, why don't we ask Jesus, where is that coming from? You see, that is the beginning of healing your heart, is to ask that question. Where's that coming from? And he remembered that when he was a boy, a 10, 11 years old boy, I think it is, a bunch of boys came and they cornered him in a shed and they were going to beat him up with a stick. And he began to cry. The boys are not supposed to cry. And they laughed. They said, you sissy, you're nothing but a girl. Stupid boy. And they mocked him. And in his heart, he said, I will never again allow myself to be in that position of being mocked. And so out came that rejection in terms of anger. That's why we have a seminar called Overcoming Anger. Because that's exactly what they're going to do. Where is that coming from? And God is going to show it. And in there is a wound. A wound, and for Robert Morris, it was the wound that caused so much anger. So then the next step is, Jesus, what is the truth? Who are you, Robert? Are you a helpless little boy who's a sissy? No. And he had a revelation of who he really is. And that's how Jesus brings healing to the rejected. He brings his identity to you. Not how the world gives, but how he gives. Amen? You're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. You're not just some kitchen wrench. Amen? So let me... I did the same. Can I just say one more thing? First, Jesus pursues you. He actually chases you. I'm here because God chased me. The second thing he does, he exposes your heart. How many heard the line, Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost? He exposes your heart. Do you know what it comes before that? Before that is the story of Zacchaeus who's sitting in the tree. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector, a rejected person, despised person, who comes down from the tree, and Jesus says, she says to him, well, people mumble at him, they criticize him, and says, how can Jesus ever be with this tax collector? And so he says, today, his heart is being opened right there. Today, I'm going to give you back twice what I owe somebody, and four times to the people I've stolen. His heart is open right there and then. I find that when people come to know Jesus, they will go through a journey of where the heart is exposed, where the anger comes out, where the lust comes out, where the rejection comes out, and it comes out. But now it comes out in front of Jesus. And he says, okay, let's deal with your heart. So I want to end this with a story, okay? So for myself, no, I have two stories. For myself, my heart was broken by my parents' divorce. I could become a Christian. And one day, in a service like this, Jesus shows me my heart. I hold bitterness and resentfulness against my dad. And I need to let him go. I need to forgive him. So I said, how do I do that, Lord? I said, give him a call. I gave him a call and said, Dad, would you forgive me for all I've done? And through a process, God healed my heart and restored my relationship, just like he did to Bud. But my friends, when you're on the journey with God, he will reveal things in your heart. And don't think that it's not God, because often it is very much God. Don't blame the church. Don't blame somebody else. Just say, Lord, there's stuff in my heart that I need to feel. That's rejection in me. So let me end with a story. It was Danny. Danny was 7 years old. He was on fire for Jesus. He was going to be a preacher. He took a little apple box in the backyard, stood on it, and he started preaching to the neighbor kids. And he said, anybody here want to be saved, put up your hands. And he had a little altar call. And he was on fire for Jesus. And everything was going good for him. And he knew he was going to be a pastor one day. Grade 1 was good. Grade 2 was good. Grade 3, all things changed. In grade 3, he has a teacher who somehow didn't like him, bullied him, picked him, couldn't do anything right. Marked things wrong that wasn't even wrong. Gave him low marks. All his marks dropped. And there was no father or no mother who came alongside to fight for you. At the end of grade 3, all his self-esteem had dropped. Then a few other things happened. He goes to play in a baseball game. And it was the last inning, I think they call it. And I don't know nothing about baseball. Like soccer, that's another story. So the ball is coming. If he catches the ball, they win the game. And it's coming right towards him. He looks up right in the sun, and he can't see the ball. And he misses it. And you can hear the sigh of all the kids on the team saying, "You stupid boy." How many knows that is how your heart breaks? Had that been the only thing that happened, it probably wouldn't have affected him the way it did. The second thing comes, he goes into his grandmother's house, and he's trying to get the blinds up, and the blinds won't get up. And so you know how we do sometimes? We pull too hard and hold the blind fence down. And grandma came in and said, "You stupid boy, you can't do anything right." Even though she loves him. He walks away in his heart with a message. "I can never do anything right. I'm a stupid boy." Now he goes to Bible college because he says, "I'm called by God." But God is a mean God in his eyes. A God who is judgmental. Not a loving God. He has not felt loved. He felt judged. One day, he's sitting in the chapel. And in the chapel, they're singing hallelujah worship and they give testimonies. And he's sitting there with his hands in his pocket thinking, "I can't raise my hands. I can't experience Jesus. I'm a loser. In fact, I'm going to quit." So he sneaks out, goes to the principal's office, but the principal is gone for an hour. So he goes back in the chapel. He thinks, "I'm going to wait an hour." He sits in the chair while everybody worships, just like we did a few minutes ago. He says, "I'm done." Then one man stands up and says, "I have a word from God for somebody in this chapel. And this is the word. You're thinking of leaving and quitting. But I want to tell you that I love you. And I've always loved you. And if you leave, I will still love you. But if you don't leave and stay, I have a purpose and a call in your life for you. In others' case, it's your choice. And I love you. You need to know that I love you, Danny." He didn't use the word because he didn't know the name, but the guy just obeyed the word of knowledge. Right there, Danny is sitting in the pew crying. He knew God has just spoke to him. Why did that do? He was pursuing Danny. And he was exposing his heart of rejection. And later, for the next 25 or 30 years, he has been working for YVM, teaching others about overcoming rejection. Amen. There is no disease that I know of as a pastor that causes people to fall into the basement of their lives than rejection. By a spouse, by a parent, by a teacher, by a boss. And the words that has been spoken, the enemy uses to cause a spirit of rejection to pull you away from your destiny. So I want to pray for you. How many is with me this morning? Are you okay? Is it all right? Let us stand. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed. How many will say, "I've experienced what you talked about, hands"? Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to take the authority that Jesus has given me, and I'm actually going to bind that spirit of rejection, that you may be loosed from that. So in Jesus' name I pray that in your name the power to set people free will be released in our midst. That everyone who is under that cloud of rejection will be set free. In Jesus' name I command that spirit of rejection that is over some of the people in this church even today, that Father, they be completely set free and they would lift off their hearts and their minds. And Lord, they will see your hand stretching out and says, come forth. You are my bride. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are completely accepted and loved, not for what you can do, but for who you really are in my eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening.
I've been wrestling with whether I should say something or not the whole time my dad's been speaking, but when we were sharing earlier about breakthrough and just believing for God to break through in your life, it was like I could hear the thoughts that, I don't know if it's one person or several people were having, but that it was like, why would God ever do that for you? Look how many times you've prayed and not seen an answer. He's not going to do this in your life. He doesn't care about you. Like it was like a lies from the pit of hell. I heard it so clear. So I was sitting back there and wrestling with God. Do I say something? Do I not? And you just shared that story about, I wrote something down and you asked Jill. I was sitting back there really fighting with, do I say something? And you shared the story about this guy who's feeling like, would God ever love me? And so I just felt it was such a confirmation. So I just want to say to you, if that's you this morning and you are feeling like the enemy is saying, why would... You don't recognize probably it's the enemy, but you have those thoughts that, hey, why would God ever do that for me? Hey, you talk about healing. I've never seen God heal in my life. Why would he do that in my life? Hey, you talk about God speaking to you. Why would he ever speak to me? And you have those kind of thoughts going on. I want to encourage you this morning. God wants to set you free. And he does want to speak to you. And he does want to heal you. And he does want to bring life and hope. And so... somehow we have to create a space for you to respond, because I really believe that God wants to break through. So Holy Spirit, would you come? You know, right now, if you're doubting that God's even real, if you're like, yeah, I've accepted him, or I've prayed the prayer, but I've never experienced, that's the kind of stuff that's going on in your heart, I just encourage you that this is not, God is not saying, I don't love you. God is, those are the kind of things he's dropping in your heart, saying, I'm pulling you. It's like he's baiting you to come closer. Because he wants you to experience all that he has for you. And so when you hear a story like that of somebody getting healed or somebody getting set free or encountering his love, and you're like, why has that never happened to me? That's not for me. No, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he'll heal somebody, if he'll restore somebody, if he'll speak to somebody else, he'll do that to you too. Because he's good and he's faithful and he is the same for all of us. We're all his favorite. And so I just want to break that lie that maybe the enemy is speaking to you that, it's not for me, it's not going to experience it. Oh, what God ever wanted to do? No. Jesus died so that we could know the Father and know his love. And it's not about just a thought or a theory or a philosophy, it's that we would actually know him. And so if you haven't experienced him or you don't know him, that's okay. Don't feel like you're not good enough or that God doesn't care. He's pulling you. He's saying, yeah, there's more. Just keep hungry. There's more. Just keep coming. So don't harden your heart this morning, but open it. And be like, God, I lay it all on the table. Draw a line in the sand, whatever. I stand in faith, I want you. So I don't know, but I feel like we need to create a space to just respond to that this morning. I feel so strongly that God wants to set some of you free. God wants to just draw you to that place where you've longed to be, but never thought, is that even possible for me? That closeness, that knowing him, that experiencing his love, that hearing his voice. You know, God wants to bring healing in your life. Maybe you've struggled with that for years and years and years, but I'm telling you, that's for you today. So don't leave here today if there's something going on inside of you right now. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore that. Respond. All right? Whether it's in your chair or you come up in your prayer or whatever, but don't leave here without letting God do the work in your heart. I'm done.
So I'm going to ask anybody who feels a need to be prayed for. Cinderella had little birds and little mice, friends. We had that little birds, those little mice. We want to come alongside of you to pray with you. We are your friends. I want to say you can do it.
I just want to thank Paul for saying that, because I strongly believe that is for somebody here today. But that's a message we all need to hear. I don't care who you are. We all need to hear that message from God. Thank you. Thanks, Paul.
When you feel like you think of someone else, God lays someone else on your heart that message was for. It is for all of us, but so right. But if God's pressing someone else on your heart, don't judge them. Don't say, I hope they heard Pastor Paul's word or Pastor Hans's word. Be that little mouse. Be that little encourager that Cinderella had. Be that person that goes and says a prayer for that other person. Love them. Love them into the kingdom. And once you've become a Cinderella, once you've been set free, and you feel like it's been robbed from you again, you feel like people in church have sat and thought those thoughts about you, do it all over again. It's okay. It's okay if it's a million times. It's okay. God accepts us. He loves us.
Good word. So we're going to sing this last song, and the altar is open for anybody who wants to come and pray with you. And have an amazing, happy new year. That bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord be gracious towards you. And the Lord turn his face upon you and give his amazing peace to you. In Jesus' name.